And let's pray. Loving Lord, as we come to your word, please help us to understand what you would have us know. Bless us with your spirit so that that might happen. Amen. As we start our gospel today, we see three people being crucified. And if any of us had been, you know, in Jerusalem as visitors and not known the events of the previous days, and had just gone out to see the crucifixions, as I suppose in that rather morbid time we might have done, then we couldn't really have told these three apart, not just by looking at them, I don't think. Three criminals being dealt with for what they had done. Three men in a hopeless and helpless position of their own making, we might have thought, and for them there was no way out. But as we are there watching, one of them says something rather peculiar. He talks to his father, and he asks his father to forgive them, whoever them is, for, he says, they do not know what they're doing. And then other odd things begin to happen. There's a group of high-ups, Jewish men in ruling positions, who start to sneer at the one who's spoken of forgiveness. Let him save himself, we hear them say. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. And before we have time to process that, another group starts sneering. It seems to be the order of the day, the soldiers this time. A slightly different sneer, but the same sort of thing, really. If you are a king, the king of the Jews, save yourself. All of these are, I think, the mockeries of the victors, the ones who now hold the power. None of them had expected Jesus to save himself. And my take is that none of them thought he could. Not the rulers, not the soldiers. It was a taunt, nothing more. But just then, things slightly change, maybe so anyway. One of the other criminals rouses himself. Is he mocking too? Or is there a sort of desperate scintilla of half-belief as he joins in saying, aren't you the Messiah? Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. I don't know. Could be a smidgen of belief. Could just be that even a condemned man joins in the mockery. But however we might hear it, as we stand there in the crowd, it's clear how the other criminal hears it, because out comes a rebuke. Don't you fear God, he says. It's daft. We have the same sentence as this man. And what is more, we deserve it, and he doesn't. This man has done nothing wrong. I wonder how him saying that played out with us, played out with the crowd. How would it play with his executioners? Were they so hard-bitten that nothing could touch them? Or was Jesus saying first, Father, forgive them? And now this criminal saying, Jesus has done nothing wrong. Were these things that would touch them, give them pause for thought? And what two of the rulers? Truth so often comes from what the powerless say. I wonder if they recognised it. As we absorb this scene, standing there, as it were, with the bank holiday crowd, it comes to its climax. The condemned man who had last spoken says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And there comes that beautiful response. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. What's going on here? If we focus in on that criminal on the cross, the second one, what do we see? We see a man who, in human terms, is beyond all hope, now utterly helpless. A long and painful death is all that awaits, the consequences of his decisions, his actions. We deserve it, he says. But let's think theologically, because that's how we learn of God and his purposes. We see him confessing, I think, not specifically, but very clearly. He has done something wrong. And we see him in repentance too, I think. It's there in the sense that he's getting what he deserves and comparing his actions to those of someone else who did not do anything wrong. There was, he knows, a different way that he could have gone. That's very far from everything that we might say about repentance in another context, but it's there, confession and repentance. And there's also faith. Maybe he had seen Jesus in action at some point. Maybe he had heard Jesus teaching. For some reason, whatever reason, he knew that Jesus could do something about his situation. As he hung there helplessly, hopelessly, he still knew that Jesus could do something for him. The rulers mocked. They all knew too what Jesus had said and done, but they mocked. The soldiers mocked. But this man, this wretched criminal, helpless and objectively seemingly hopeless, had faith in Christ, and he articulates it. Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Same thing, same effect, same underlying faith in Christ and a turning to him for help. There was nothing the man could do to make amends for whatever it was he had done. Not a thing, not a single thing. But what was in his heart was enough to ensure his future. Today you will be with me in paradise. Forgiveness, redemption, the promise of heaven. It's a beautiful account, one well worth sitting with when you go home. Luke chapter 23. What though do we get out of it? None of us are criminals on the cross. None of us are likely to be. And all of us have, I think, chosen our side. We are not with the soldiers or the rulers, or even with the silent onlookers. We are with Christ. But for us, I think it is more the sheer simplicity of it that is our teacher. Jesus requires so little of the criminal, so little of us. Confession, repentance, faith in him, turning to him. And as well as a good reminder for us of the elements of our faith, it's a story that we can ourselves tell. Why do you bother going to church, says your friend, your neighbour, your relative? Oh, sometimes I wonder, you say. It is an effort. But there is one story of what Jesus did that always gets me. It goes like this. When Jesus was being crucified, he was not alone. All of us could tell this story in its simplicity. Just remember the punchline. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Today, I tell you, you will be with me in paradise. When you tell people that Jesus forgave those who crucified him, and of that criminal who knew he had done wrong but asked Jesus for help, and of Jesus' loving response to him, there may be someone who doesn't get Christianity at all, who thinks it's all to do with rituals and music and trying to be good. Well, maybe that person will, for the first time in their lives, get the beauty that has drawn you in. So go back to this story today, maybe. Tell it in your own words, internalize it, and pray for an opportunity to share it. Amen.